to play today. Look at me. I can be.
Is that the whitest song you know?
It's one of them. You got to remember, Maze, I went to Penn State. I had to learn a lot of white songs, bro. Bro.
Tell me about it.
Yo, the fucking... I knew Eminem was a big rapper, was an important rapper, was the man, essentially, but... Woo, child.
They play him at...
In college? They play him at parties.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
I don't like Stop that. The beat a minute. I got something to say, Trey.
This fucking weed is in me.
The verse on 50, the one, you take some big and some Pac and you mix them up in the pot. They love that verse, bro. Oh my God, bro.
Just drank the fifth of vodka. Dare me to drive?
Yeah. It's a folk. But shouts to him, though, man.
I dodged the whole Eminem thing.
Yeah, man.
I was never into that guy ever.
We're an angry team.
My aunt is obsessed.
I mean, I graduated from high school in 99. So okay. Eminem kind of came late, right?
So you weren't angry at that point?
No. I was never angry. I never had angst. I played basketball.
Eminem taught a lot of people that they were angry and they didn't know.
I played basketball and I got laid. So I didn't have all that stuff. Right?
Congrats on the sex. Oh, but
even kids.
Congrats on the sex.
They lived in Appalachia, Dave. They for whatever reason just
look. Hey, my family was from Appalachia, right? Like I'm very familiar with those kids, and you know, I get it.
Because listen, for me. Where I'm from, where I never even knew what a Xanax was until Eminem.
Yeah. Right?
Like, you know, and then my freshman year of college, my roommates, they were from like some backcountry ass town in PA. They basically told me like, by the time they were done with high school, they had done obviously weed.
Sure.
They'd done all kinds of pills before. They'd done coke. They'd done ecstasy. They'd huffed ether. Okay, so like, you know, Eminem is speaking to those kids so like directly. It's insane, bro.
I didn't even smoke weed in high school.
Me neither. I was because Michael Jordan said you shouldn't smoke weed. I started smoking cigarettes after basketball season, so after February of senior year. But I was like, shit, weed is not good enough for Jordan. It's not good enough for me. How stupid is that?
You and Tom Thibodeau. I'm starting to
figure out why you like Kyrie so much, Wes. different other reasons.
No, I was absolutely a Jordan fanatic, bro. Fanatic.
Man, it was easy because of the WGN games, man. I don't think people realize like those WGN games. Like I wasn't a Bulls fan, but like I watched every Jordan game that they put on.
See, and I was a Bulls fan. Because of it, right? Like, I also was, you know, like Jordan came in 84, 85, whatever.
Yeah, 84.
And I was like 5 years old when Jordan turned into Jordan. Wow, Jordan. That's
amazing.
I mean, I was three when he came in the league, but like 88.
Yeah, is when he became seven. Who he's
that was when
to
I was
be.
Conscious of, oh shit, I'm playing basketball. They're doing the same stuff I'm doing. You know?
So my first consciousness of Jordan was the 93 finals, and I was five. I was five. And I just remember my older brother and sister, obviously, you know, wretched Knicks fans. They were rooting against the Bulls. And I was like, how could – I just remember five-year-old me thinking to myself, how could anybody root against Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan.
Wise, you got to get this art if you haven't already.
Oh, that's a great shot, man.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Where's that from?
Free Darko, right?
Yep, that's Free Darko.
Wow. I like it. I remember that third season when they went to win the title, right?
Wait, does Tom just have that on the ground at all times?
This room is being redecorated.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I gotta take everything down.
You know damn well Tom's wife wouldn't let him put that in there like hell. <house. laughs> You gotta put that in your little game room, your little situation over there. That ain't going in the real house.
I remember people like the Jordan backlash. Should we just go live, by the way?
Yeah,
let's go. I thought we were.
No, we're going live. We're live now.
Raw, unfiltered, and unpredictable. That is the No Chill Podcast. Every episode, you're getting an hour long of the most dynamic personalities in the NBA. Gilbert Arenas, all-star, all-NBA. We know him. He also is all-opinion and has no chill at all times. Made a name for himself lighting up scoreboards. Now he's continuing to light it up with Kevin Durant, Nick Young, Matt Barnes, Ice Cube, all kinds of top guests coming soon on the podcast. Every episode, Gilbert Arenas shares his unique perspective on the game, who's playing it, the personalities involved, everything in between. You never know what they're going to say next. Co-host and producer Mike Botticello is Gil's wingman. He worked in the NBA circuit for over a decade. They dig into hot topics, trends, and burning questions. New episode drops every single Monday. That's a day early on Himalaya. If you get your podcasts wherever you get them available, you can get a day early on Himalaya. So listen to the No Chill Podcast on Himalaya.
We're talking about Michael Jordan. I remember that third season when they were going to the finals, right? That was when the Jordan backlash started among people my age. And it was like, oh, man, I'm going to buy David Robinson's gigantic shoes. Or Charles Barkley, right, was the other guy. Saw a lot of Phoenix Suns gear out in Virginia. A lot of orange starter jackets.
See, but that's not a narrative that gets told a lot, right? The narrative is there was a Jordan shoots too much. He can't win a championship playing that way, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, until he got over the Pistons. And it just went cascading downhill. Like, yo, Jordan is the best. The snowball just started flowing from there. But you're saying, like, after the third title, basketball hipsters were like, all right, come on.
How good is this guy? Really?
They existed without the internet, right? Like, it's one of those things that it was a real thing. Like, I remember getting into arguments with people where they were trying to tell me, no, man, David Robinson's a better player.
I remember being convinced that Jordan was going to the Knicks because in free agency because there was a Sports Illustrated art cover in which like they had photoshopped or they had drawn on a Knicks jersey or something like that. I remember seeing that going, yo, he's going to go to the Knicks. It's like, that's how this thing falls apart. And then I just remember arguing like with friends, like, will he win more titles with the Knicks than he did with the Bulls? And just dumb stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Knicks have been tied to any guy who's huge and a free agent and missed out on every single one of them forever. Till Kevin Durant.
Hold on. They got Jerome James. They got Shandon Anderson. They got Amari. Howard Isley. They got Amari.
Tim Hardaway Jr., big Phil Jackson. Yeah. Fuck up. Literally, David Griffin turned his plane around after they signed Tim Hardaway. He's like, wait, what? I thought it was, what?
Back to Napa, right, pop another bottle of wine.
That's it.
But yeah, that pushback, that was so funny to me. Like, even in the moment, I mean, of course, it's hilarious looking back. Because after he retired the first time and came back, there was none of it. Everybody missed Jordan so much in that year and a half, right?
NBA Twitter has always existed. It's just now we have a tweet button.
Exactly. Well, it used to be like the old guys on the playground or like the barbershop or, you know, wherever guys would be hanging out talking about basketball. And
speaking of Jordan, my favorite way to dismiss a young millennial is I go, have you even seen Jordan play before? like you never even watched Jordan oop.
What like, you should I do, and I'm just, about I don't basketball. Know. I might be peacocking right now, but you should just say, what does that NBA on NBC theme go? Like, how does that go? I can't think of it. How does it go? Like, you're sitting down with your family and like.
Basketball, give me the basketball so I can go dunk it.
Dunk it.
But, you know, but Zach, like Zach said, WGN being on basic cable, it was Channel 9 in Richmond. I used to watch every Bulls game, like every single Bulls game. So I got so much Michael Jordan. It was like league pass for the Bulls. It was great.
I mean, I came into it way later than you guys. I wasn't watching till the Jazz finals. That's the first time I really remember watching that. But I did get this like Ultimate Jordan DVD in like the mid-2000s that had like six of his greatest games, like the Celtics game.
Did it have the Dominique game? With
Barkley. It didn't have the Dominique game. It had him like his regular season scoring high against the Cavs. and then Jazz games, the flu game, and the final game. And like me and my best friend, like probably watched that DVD like 500 times between us. Like one of us was always watching it. So I got my education a little later, but I still got it. Thank God.
I remember, I have VHS.
I remember watching the games. I remember watching The Shot.
Yeah.
I think I was like six or seven at that point. But yeah, I remember watching The Shot.
Zach, that shot was on like the cover, like the front page of like the New York Times. And my basketball coach the next day at practice cut it out and had us pretend practice our shot. And just to like emulate.
Yo, man, I practiced that shot so much over the years, just in the like coming through, leaning left. You know, oh my God, I'm practiced
still money on that elbow pull up. I can still.
I wouldn't know what an elbow jumper looks like at this point in my life because that's too far in for me.
No, but that's the thing. We used to get propaganda like "come fly with me," and now you know we get the shop and Muse Cage.
Muse Cage.
It's just we like,
Muse Shop. Come fly with me.
Let's start it up.
Muse Shop. I don't know, man.
It was like who produced that? Was that Sports Illustrated thing?
That's a good question.
Were they a part of that? I don't know, but it was kind of corny. And it was just, I don't know, man. Like, I didn't feel like it was trying to drive home some bigger narrative. I mean, aside from the fact that it's like Michael Jordan's awesome.
Well, yeah, that's the narrative.
That's
Michael Jordan is awesome. Yeah. Michael Jordan is inevitable. Michael Jordan is your father. That's
the message. Or Big Brother, right?
Exactly.
Right. That was exactly what they were going for. That was the most likable Michael Jordan of all time.
And the thing is, like those DVDs would position the Knicks, Riley's Knicks, and the Suns and Clyde Drexler as these like obstacles to just be.
Man, those teams were never gonna beat him. Are you kidding me? Clyde Drexler was gonna beat Michael Jordan.
John Starks.
It wasn't just Clyde Drexler, Zach. It was Jerome Kersey too.
Kevin Duckworth, Terry Porter, Cliff Robinson, Uncle Cliffy.
Yeah, I love the idea that there was a narrative in 92 that who's the best shooting guard in the league with Clyde and MJ.
Are you kidding me?
The 93 Suns was a legitimately great team, right?
Best like team. You know who they have?
Thunder Dan?
Michael Jordan.
Yes.
I love this.
I used to have Kevin Johnson's shoes. I used to have those shoes that with the gel thing, the gel cap. Were they Reebok?
The LJs? You know who told
remember React Juice?
No.
Remember that?
React
Juice. So I think it was, man, I don't remember what, it might have been Converse. I can't remember which shoe had it, but Tim Legler told a story on NBA radio the other day of how the React Juice in his shoes started leaking. And there's all this green stuff all over the practice court. And then I think Danny Ferry's React Juice shoes also started leaking. So all of a sudden,
Was that Larry Johnson or Kevin Johnson's
shoes? Converse, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Theodore Converse. Being a jerk.
I had those.
As usual.
Those are the last pair of Converse I've owned.
Is the best rivalry in sports Woz versus Theodore?
Yo, honestly, guys, like if you knew the half of the issues that this dog is, like the actual strife that
I get a crate?
Doesn't seem like much of a rivalry. It seems like Woz is just losing.
Yes, facts.
Did you get a crate?
Oh no! We're not getting the dog is 8 years old. It's so? Over that, and his mom just doesn't believe in disciplining him. It's just let Ted do what he wants to do, because he's gonna die soon anyway.
Wow! That was so basically Ted is Dwayne Wade's career.
It's what was up with the hair?
Wow!
Different kinds of talking.
What was the hair? I saw a picture of the hair this morning. That's an odd decision on your way out.
He lost a bet, right? Like that has to
36 years old. D braids.
38, whatever.
D braids.
Dwayne braids.
I'm not happy to admit that back in his Miami days, man, I used to call him Knee Wade, man.
Wow. You came for Dwayne?
LeBron stand.
The most likable dude. The play was going after Chris Bosh, was? That's what you were supposed to do.
I used to call him Knee Wade because he just felt like, you know, in big series, he was always hurt. He was always hurting himself.
Yeah, because he had to carry LeBron.
Yeah, right.
he had to carry Shaq.
Yeah, okay. Well, he did do that.
That's right. Shaq is pretty big.
Yeah.
So I was at the Hornets game. Michael Jordan owns the Hornets, guys. I don't know if you know this, but
it's like a beekeeper.
Mays, the Warriors beat the Hornets last night.
Somehow and I didn't overcame see Strauss. Cody Zeller.
Yeah. I didn't see Strauss. You know, I think he's Marcus Thompson, like all these folks just ghosted.
No, the Strauss is too big time to be schlepping through the Charlotte airport at this point. He's a national guy now, if you didn't know.
He doesn't love Bojangles enough.
They did. So Steph hooked him up with, I think it was Steph, might have been Quinn Cook, hooked him up with Cookout. Does anyone know about Cookout?
Oh, of course. Cookout is fire.
I was talking with Sam and Andy last night about Cookout because they were talking about people who don't like In-N-Out. Well, I don't think In-N-Out's very good.
I think it's good. I think
Oh my God. Dave, I gave you an In-N-Out burger. I'm not saying you have to think it's the best burger.
I've had an In-N-Out burger.
If I gave you an In-N-Out burger right now and you would say, I don't think this is very good.
No, fine. You would say it's good.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not
objectively good.
Right.
I'm tired of this argument.
I'm telling you, you got to get the burger how I get it. Just cheese, meat, grilled onions, ketchup, and sliced chilies.
Well, they don't have ketchup at In-N-Out.
See, all right. So this is
the issue. How did we go from
for East Coast people with
Michael Jordan goat debate to Cookout? In-N-Out.
You said Charlotte. Somebody said Bojangles. Here we are. Well,
this is so NBA Twitter. We go In-N-Out and then just.
Here's what I'll tell you. Being an East Coast guy and going to the West Coast and having Cookout. I don't know how to order. I think that might be part of the problem. Yes. I don't have somebody there to hold my hand and say, hey, you should get it like this. That's all I get. I get a regular cheeseburger.
Order a double cheeseburger.
Yeah, and it's fine.
Double the meat.
It's fine. It's not like this amazing, like I thought it was going to be this life-changing thing. It's fine.
Nah, but that's
there's no fast food burger that's a life-changing thing, though.
Well, right. People talk up In-N-Out quite a bit. I'd take Cookout over In-N-Out.
Okay, but fast food fries. The fries at Checkers or Rallies, those are life-changing fries, guys.
I'm still gonna go McDonald's. McDonald's still has the best fries.
Life-changing.
Still the best in the game, man.
I'm a Burger King guy myself. For the
what?
Fries.
They're pretty good too.
Oh, no,
crispy oily. I like the crispy oily.
Where it has like a. Is two French fries from Burger King shaped as an L? That's the big number. Are you kidding me?
That's a letter.
But it's two fries.
Okay, what were you saying, Tom, about Michael Jordan?
Yeah, and takeaways from last night's Charlotte and Golden State game.
Yeah, there wasn't really much of import in that game, but I did come home from it and then watch the last few minutes of the LeBron-Memphis debacle. And I don't know, guys. Seems like LeBron on the brink of missing the playoffs.
Rip the Band-Aid off, Tom.
Listen, I went through their schedule this morning.
Do it, Tom.
I went through their schedule this morning, and they need to go like
on Tom's face.
They've got 22 games left, and I pegged them best case scenario at 43 wins. I don't think that gets them into the playoffs.
They need to go at least 15-7.
Right,
15-7. Everyone else goes 500.
So I went through the schedule, and you know this is obviously non-scientific. I gave them all the crap games. So I gave them when they play the Grizzlies
gave
game
Memphis.
Again, right? I gave them the Pelicans game on Wednesday. So any team that's worse than them, I just gave them the win. Gave them losses to Denver and Milwaukee, whatever, and had them
gave
split
like four wins.
Dude, I had them at 11-11.
That's splitting with generous, the Clippers. Man.
I know it's gonna be. A slog. I don't think you're going to do it.
All season long, I've been like, I trust LeBron. LeBron will be, you know, we're picking LeBron. And then after this weekend, I put in my article for The Athletic, clickety clack,
baby.
Power rankings. I said, my predictions are not going to make the playoffs. And if you look right now, like, if you think they're going to make the playoffs, and granted, it's a different star at the top of this of these two teams, they have the exact same record as the Minnesota Timberwolves. Do you think the Wolves have a chance of making the playoffs?
No,
I don't.
Exactly.
So why do we think the Lakers do? Because LeBron, which is fair, but they're not making the playoffs.
Also,
but,
we have to like the strength of schedule does matter. Like the Kings and Clippers have a much easier schedule the rest of the way because they got their hard stuff out of the way early. And there's this sense that the Clippers mailed in the season when they made these trades. But they're not playing like it.
No, not at all.
At all.
And it's a stark contrast because they're playing hard.
Right.
Like, it's this thing with, like, you know, back when Tibbs was with the Bulls and they were trotting out the likes of Nate Robinson as their Robinson. I don't know why I call him Robertson, like he was Oscar. And they were trotting out him as their leading scorer, or this Indiana team right now, where you have these teams that just straight up play hard every single game, every single quarter. The Lakers are the anti that. They don't play hard as if they've won the last four championships. Like, they're the 0-2 Lakers or something. It's like, no. You're the 2019 Lakers. You sucked last year. All you did was add LeBron.
Can we clarify this? Because there are Lakers that are playing hard.
There are some who are playing hard on defense.
Okay.
There's a couple.
Yeah.
A lot of them are playing hard on offense.
Yeah.
So, you know, but on
LeBron defense, activated playoff mode. And that apparently
one
just means,
quarter against the Rockets.
You guys are reading this playoff mode completely wrong. Okay, he activated playoff mode because they're not going to be in the playoffs, so he's playing like a lottery team.
Why didn't LeBron? All right, listen. If you're realistic, and you're the Lakers, I mean, which I guess realism and the Lakers don't really go hand in hand, but would you just look at this and say, "All right, LeBron, time to get some rest. We're just going to go ahead and sit you.
Come back to the last week. Not now.
Improve those lottery odds.
I think maybe you start, like, you know, trying to trip them a little bit on the court.
Do the Lakers own their pick this summer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. They do kind of have an incentive.
Hey, LeBron. LeBron, that groin's not feeling great. Right?
Isn't that so weird that, like,
hold on, Zach.
We don't know if teams are tanking or not.
That's
what I'm saying.
Isn't that so crazy? Like, Watson's going, let's get that 1.9% chance of winning the lottery.
Hold on now. You know, you get yourself a 10th pick and you start packaging it with B.I. and there's nothing going on.
10th pick?
It is, Zach, I don't know if you heard, but it's a loaded draft, 1-10.
Don't get 11. 11 just right.
But that, well, Zion's going to fall to 10th now that he's hurt his knee, right? So that's how the Lakers will get him.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I don't know, man. Like, for me, it's just like I worry about the mileage. I mean, the groin injury, right? Like, those things take a long time to heal. He's clearly not right.
But the thing is, the reason why I don't believe any of this crap is, look, I know the Rockets game was one small sample size. It's just that when LeBron just takes Capella on a switch off the dribble and just dunks on him, that's all I need to know. Like, you're not trying for real.
But you're not trying.
That dunk didn't look that great, though.
Bad moments, right?
It's not about the dunk. It's about he went hard.
Yeah, but like you could tell that he wasn't like full capacity. Like, that dunk didn't look like vintage LeBron elevation and all that. Like, he went really hard, but he can't do that because of his body.
You're
right now.
27. Yes, he doesn't get as high as he did. But that's my point, is that he got by him. He's not even doing that. Like, when he's at the rim, it's because he backs some dude down. He's not trying to dribble past me. Like, he's not going hard, yo.
In 2014, I did a story about how LeBron was coasting in the regular season. And someone from the Heat was like, go call him out on his defensive numbers. So I went up to LeBron and I was like, yo, look at these numbers. You have a worse block rate than Kyle Korver and a worse steal rate than Kyrie Irving, which is kind of funny in retrospect. But but I was like laying out all these stats about LeBron. Like, I mean, it's hard not to say that you're coasting. I mean, look at this. And he goes, you think I'm coasting? You think I'm coasting? See me on Wednesday. I'll show you coasting. So his implication was like, next Wednesday, the Wednesday game against the Wizards, he was going to show me who's coasting. They got blown out by like 25.
That reminds me of remember when Rajah Bell clotheslined Kobe in the playoffs, right? And everyone's like, oh man, just wait till next game. Kobe's going to come out and destroy. I think Kobe was terrible. The Lakers got blown out or something like that. And it's like, maybe this whole like, uh-oh, you pissed this guy off. Maybe that's all just bullshit, right? None of it matters.
So it works sometimes, but like other times it's not like if LeBron says he's going to go all out, it's not always the case. And you know what? Like that last game, the last few minutes, they got that weird, backcourt violation that wasn't called. Not backcourt, but shot clock violation. What do we even call it? Eight second violation, which was clearly a violation. And then LeBron got the charge call on the other end.
Hold on, to be fair, Tom. Once it gets closer to 10 seconds, I think it just resets.
Defensively, like the thing about LeBron is, and Winhurst has written about this before, is that he strategically rests on defense.
Strategically rests is just means you're not playing defense. That's
right. And so when you look at the defensive rating for the Lakers have been
in 25 years.
Yeah, it's been bad. And I think we talked about this like a couple years ago with Cleveland when they were like the worst defense in the second half of the season, which is like LeBron is setting the tone. If you're not going to rotate or if you're not going to try hard defensively, would Kyrie? Why would Kevin Love? And so I think that's what's happening here with the Lakers is like LeBron might be strategically resting because he's got to play on an iffy groin maybe or play 40 minutes. And it's just they're not on a string. They're not at all.
And Sam Esfandiari pointed it out to me. He was like, right before LeBron got injured, they started playing defense again. If you remember, to start the season, the defense was what it looks like right now. And then they went and got Tyson Chandler and all these other things happened. And they started playing good defense, not like world-beating defense, but good defense. And they were looking like a team that's like, oh, this is a pretty good team. Then LeBron hurt his groin and you know, Lonzo's hurt too, who's, I guess, their best defensive player at this point, even though I think Ingram is probably the best defensive player. But like, yeah, now they're back to just being what they were in the beginning of the season. And they said you had a stat.
Since LeBron has come back from this groin injury, of players that have played over 15 minutes a game, he is the second slowest in the league on defense. His average speed. The slowest is Dirk Nowitzki. That's the only reason.
And that's the big number.
Dirk, that's the only reason.
Yeah. There was a game two games ago where LeBron literally came to the corner of half court, the corner for a possession, and just stood there for like 3 seconds. They put up a shot, and he just walked on back.
That was the Rockets game. It was the first three plays he didn't cross half court to get back on defense. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, playoff mode officially activated. But last night, there was a play where he was guarding Bruno Caboclo. You know?
Who?
Perennial All-Star.
2 years away.
Bruno Caboclo is Brazilian for Ben Simmons.
That's it. Well, anyway, so he's got the ball in the
Brazilian is definitely a language too.
Yes. Now, fair. He's not really a good shooter. So LeBron played off, but he played off in the paint. Bruno hits the three, and then LeBron turns around and shrugs at everybody else like they were supposed to do something. That's your man.
Well, all right. I didn't take that as him shrugging at everyone else. I took that as him going, what are you going to do? That's
okay. All right.
And you might be right, but that's how I viewed the situation.
His body language is horrific right now.
It's hilarious. That's what it is.
He got post-up position in that Rockets game, and they didn't throw him the ball. And he just, it turned around and just was like, whatever. I don't know, man.
It was like a KCP air ball, too. I remember that play. He was like so upset.
Yeah, and then LeBron last night, you know, you think, okay, maybe LeBron's going to pull it out, and then he shot that deep three air ball. It just isn't there this year. The legs just aren't under him. I don't know, man.
I remember being pretty curious during the summer why he signed a four-year deal, and now I bet you he's pretty curious why he signed a four-year deal. He gave up all his leverage.
Because he's there. He's going to Space Jam 2 and 3, and then, you know.
I don't think he's that worried about it, bro. I just don't like it. Just the Laker move to me seemed like I'm really don't care about. Like I want to win, obviously. I hope they put the best team together, but it's not an imperative at this point.
But his comments now don't seem like that. It seems like he expected so much more, and he's just ripping everybody. Like if he really was realistic about the situation that he was going to, and the team that he was joining. He wouldn't be reacting like this.
Well, he didn't think this was going to be the team. Let's just throw it out there. Like he is expected. I mean, last year when the Cavs flipped half the roster at the trade deadline, right? Like that's what he thought was going to happen.
Also, but if you guys remember the first Cleveland season back, There was a lot of this type of chirping going on from LeBron too. Absolutely. The fit in, not out, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's just the players were better. And might I add, they almost went down 3-1 to the freaking Bulls that year. You know, like it happened to work out pretty decently in Cleveland, but it's the same deal, right? Like the players just were a little bit better and they got to play in the East. And so there was a little bit less urgency, especially in that particular Eastern Conference. But this is all the same stuff.
Does LeBron get knocked for how easy the East was the whole time he was there? Like the run of eight straight finals, right? Like,
right? It's an indictment on the East as much as it is praise for him. Like, it's an accomplishment for sure. But like, no one stepped up in 8 years and took him down.
I don't think it diminishes what he does because we've had lulls in conferences before and no one did what he did, right? Like, so I think I think it's justifiable to support and appreciate what he did. But man, like, that's why this whole time, like basketball hipsters want to be like, well, the East is actually not as bad as we think. No, it is. The East sucks, man. Even now, the East has five good teams right now and the rest of them suck. Like, as much as I like this Nets team, they're not very good. No. They're just good because they can feast on these really bad teams in the East and boost up their numbers a little bit. I think they'll be good next year. I think they're dangerous. I think they're fun. But the rest of it, like, we're buying Orlando and Washington and Miami and Charlotte. Like,
those teams last night,
his team stink.
Fitz asked me last night on the broadcast, he's like, hey, so we're here in Charlotte. Well, who do you think is the team that's going to come out of this, like, East, make it in the East playoffs here, you know, at the bottom of the playoff picture? I'm like, I couldn't even fake an answer. I was like, I mean, what are we
doing? Miami, Charlotte, Orlando, throw them in a hat, whatever, and then throw that hat in the dumpster.
Like, I couldn't get behind, like, a real answer.
But, all right, so, but on the other side of the coin, shouldn't this make what Steph has done the last few years, like, even more impressive? I know. You're going to knock him because of KD.
We're not doing it.
I mean, that's 73 wins.
Hold on. Dave, I'm with you in spirit, but do we need to keep pumping up Steph? Like, I'm all in on, I love Steph. Steph might be my favorite player right now. Not named Ricky Davis, right? Like, he's incredible, but we don't, like, we know Steph's a great leader. We know Steph's as accomplished as anyone in this generation. Like, Steph's amazing, man. We don't need to use this LeBron stuff to pump up Steph.
But I'm just thinking abstractly, like, historically, right? Like, to go on the run that they've gone on.
I think it's too early to try to put Steph into historical significance. I think he'll be there. I think by the end of it, but like, we're still in the middle of it. So I don't know, like, we don't know when it ends.
He could also have a really interesting late career role as just a shooter on a really good team. And, you know,
some would say that's what he is now.
Steph barely beat Amon Shumpert and Dellavedova.
Barely beat them. Barely beat them.
Then they got KD and started killing people. Oh, let's relax. God.
Oh,
jeez,
boy.
73-9. But weren't killing people.
Uninterrupted.
Please, listen. Hey,
73-9.
Does LeBron have a shrine?
Lost, Tom, and they lost.
Does LeBron have a shrine to Monty Eunice's sweat in his house somewhere?
If you want to do the Golden State Warriors and what they're doing, yes. Absolutely. What they're doing deserves more praise. It's historical. It's unprecedented. I don't think we'll ever see anything this ridiculous ever again. But the idea that Steph was so unprecedented, I mean, come on, guys. Well,
he
what's so unprecedented here, bro? Give me a break, man. No,
he's the only guy to hit 400 threes in a season.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
Dave, blink twice if Andy Lou is holding you at gunpoint.
Also, by the way, James Harden on pace for 400 threes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's true.
All right. Let me ask you this, Waz. Without KD, if the 73-9 Warriors lost Steph for the entire next season and he decided to go play golf on the PGA Tour.
Oh, shit.
That Warriors team, how many wins? That 73-9 Warriors team before KD gets there.
Replace him with a league average.
Just Clay and Draymond and Harry Barnes.
Yeah. Wait, so we're going back to 2017.
That team is the Detroit Pistons right now. That team stinks.
Do you remember the 94 Lakers? I mean, the 94 Bulls.
Yes, they had a guy named Scottie Pippen on that team.
Mm.
You hold on.
55-27.
You think Iguodala, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green are the
equivalent? You're talking out of both sides of your mouth because you're saying it's not Steph.
I'm saying it's KD.
Steph, but also without Steph, they are garbage.
Yes. I'm saying it's KD.
I got a number for you.
I'm saying it's KD. I'm sorry. The guy's just as good as LeBron. I'm sorry. Yes.
I mean,
fucking D is what makes this team.
How many double teams did KD face in the finals last year?
None.
Two.
Oh, there you go.
Steph Curry, 40 times.
Bro, but the same can be said for Steph Curry. But he plays point guard, so you can put two on the ball more easily that way. That's just a function of offense.
Yeah, but in that system, it's not like he's walking the ball up all the time.
Like KD is not what makes this team unreal.
Oh my God.
And not Iguodala. And when they had Harry Barnes, they were a beatable team.
It took the flukiest comeback in NBA history to beat them.
And a dick punch.
But at the same time, KD takes them to another level. Like, both things.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking KD. Unfair.
First of all, when I say they were beatable, they were down 3-1 to OKC, and then they lost to Cleveland. This wasn't some team that just couldn't be stopped. What are we talking about? Why do we have to act like KD doesn't make this team insane? I don't get that.
Well, he does. I think we are saying that. You're saying that the reason why they're great is because of KD. What I'm saying is they were great before KD got there.
Right.
They were a different type of great.
And they're going to be great next season.
That's my point, though. Like, we can't act like, well, Steph's run the last three. No. The same way we denigrate KD's accomplishments since he got here, we can do the same shit to Steph. I'm sorry. It goes the same way for me. We call KD shit easier to attain because he's on the Warriors. Same goes for Steph. Your goals are easier to reach because KD's on your team. What? Like, why is that so hard to comprehend, bro? I don't get that. Like, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying Steph hasn't been amazing. And whatever, if you want to put him equal parts, the reason what they do as KD, that's cool. But, like, if KD's going to get knocked, if KD's going to have his accomplishments denigrated because he's on a ridiculous team, we can do the same thing to Steph. I don't see why not.
See, I don't think either one of those guys should be knocked for
exactly.
It,
right? Like that I'm tired of that narrative for both of them. Like, people who trash KD because he joined the Warriors are just like really unhappy with people being greatness. You know, with
I thought you were going a different way, Maze. I thought you were going to go LeBron on him. Like, they still have to go home to their. You know, the only people who knock down KD are people who have to go back to their job, wake up every morning, and be miserable. Yes. Waz, I hear what you're saying, but Steph did beat that KD team, the OKC.
Yeah, that's fair. And so Steph is great. And Steph is one of the all-time greats. He deserves all his roses right now. I would never disagree with that. But goddamn, man, like, yes, your accomplishments get diminished when you're on this particular team. You know, like, it's just...
Of course it is. Well, I mean, look at Draymond. Some people say Draymond isn't that good. He's just good Clay can't carry teams, all this stuff. Like, what Waz is saying there is correct.
Yeah.
Well, going back to Tom's hypothetical, that 73 win season was an insane Draymond year. And he hasn't been the same since. He hasn't shot the same since. He hasn't needed to because they have KD now. But like if they had that level of Draymond and Steph's playing golf, I think they're still a pretty scary team.
But Maze also, like, that was a fluky shooting year for Draymond.
Right.
I agree. He was never. I also think it's his shoulder.
Right. I think his shoulder is all screwed up. But that game 7 that he put up against Cleveland is one of the. I mean, that's one of the best finals performance games I've ever seen.
He would have won finals MVP if they had won that game. Absolutely. There's no way he doesn't win that because he's out and they lose. And then he comes back and he drops like 37 in game 7. That was nuts.
Which goes to show that Draymond better than Steph. Right. No finals MVPs for Steph, but Draymond would have got one.
I hate the finals.
Draymond
that's
better.
That's simple transitive property right there, Tom. That's basic algebra there.
Because at the end of the day, all the people that want me to fail. You know, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow and have the same life that they had. before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems they had today. You know, and I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things that I want to do with me and my family and be happy with that. So, you know, they can get a few days or a few months or whatever the case may be on being happy about not only myself but the Miami Heat not accomplishing their goal. But, you know, we got to get back to the real world at some point.
All right, so I feel like some of us, including myself, I feel like I include myself in this group of people who are like, hey, obviously LeBron going to the Lakers means he doesn't care about 2019. But in the moment, it still is surprising me that this Lakers team is not going to make the playoffs. Like I wrote about it being like, hey, you know, like with this team, this Lakers team, it's not going to be a championship caliber team. I didn't predict they were going to make the playoffs, but I always set the expectation is it's all about the summer of 2019. It's all about this summer of 2019. And now that it's happening, now that it's real, that we're seeing that LeBron is getting beat by the Memphis Grizzlies and Joakim Noah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible to watch. It's just, I didn't think LeBron playing 40 minutes a night for this team when they lose to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis and then they lose to the Memphis Grizzlies with their team, that this is going to really happen. So it's happening.
I can't believe he's going to miss the playoffs. Like this is like the wildest development this season is that like we're going to have the playoffs without LeBron.
It's not just that he's going to miss the playoffs. Yes, of course. Come on, Mace.
Yeah.
He tore his groin up. Like,
yeah, that counts.
Sure.
But it's still crazy that
he's not going to make it, though. Like, and it's not just that he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it because the Clippers and Kings are going to make it. That's the crazy part. Yeah, like, he can't beat the Clippers and Kings out.
The middle of the West being so much better than we all anticipated, I think, has played into this.
I wouldn't say better than we anticipated.
Well, nobody thought the Kings were going to win 40-something games.
Yeah.
No, but it's not who it is. Like, the amount of teams was always going to be the scoop.
Yeah. Right? Okay, right, but like, I thought Memphis the Lakers were going to be the top maybe, half of the middle.
Cast. Yeah, maybe it's the cast who's there, but it's not the number of teams that are
sure.
That, right,
but
yeah,
but
yeah.
That middle is like it looks differently than I expected. I thought the Lakers with LeBron would be like the 5 seed, 6 seed, something like that. So I thought they would be at the top half of the middle rather than the bottom half of the middle.
I mean, here's my question is like, Tom, do you think that if LeBron doesn't get hurt, but all this trade stuff still happens in the where do you think they are?
Oh, I think they're in a much better position. LeBron's really good. So like, I think the groin, not only the missing the games, but I think in general, just coming back from that groin injury said sapped a lot of his LeBronness, you know? So for him, he probably feels like I got to like a James Harden move where I got to save all my energy for the offensive side. And so defensively, I got to put up my legs.
Also time of the injury, they were in the midst of their best stretch of the season.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Like they
beat the Warriors on Christmas.
They were quote unquote rolling. Right. And so that has to be said too. Like they were playing their best ball. And like we said before, they were playing defense, which is nice. And then the injury happened, and it's like, you know, the same Lakers team last year that we watched struggle, and it's a bunch of young guys. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And by the way, like somebody like Brandon Ingram, I actually think he's taken a step forward this season, right?
Yeah. He's been nice recently. Since the All-Star break.
I try to tell people he's good, man.
Since Christmas, he's been fantastic.
And Nate Jones pointed it out on Twitter. He was like, we would think a lot differently of Brandon Ingram if he – one, didn't play on this Lakers team with LeBron, and two, got to play with shooters. Because, like, right now, he's impossible to keep out of the paint.
I made a joke.
If he actually played with a spread floor, he would look incredible.
Yeah, I think that if you look at Giannis's numbers at 20, and again, I don't think Brandon Ingram's going to be Giannis. Okay, so everybody pump the brakes. But you go look at the numbers, and it's similar.
Aggregate it.
Yeah. It's similar, but like if you think about the way that they play, like Brandon Ingram with the ball in his hands is not bad, and he gets to the basket at will against a lot of guys that are trying to guard him. He's got that crazy length. Now he doesn't have the build that Giannis, you know, even back then had, but it's not crazy to think that this guy couldn't be, you know, 80-85% of Giannis. That's a good player, man.
I think he's on his way to All-Star berths if he's in a situation.
He needs to go to a good team.
Not next to LeBron.
Right. You know, if he could go – like, if he could go to – I mean, I say this every time. If he could go to San Antonio, right?
Right. I don't know. That team can't win for shit right now.
Yeah.
Team's terrible.
But, I mean, can New Orleans make it work with him? I don't know, man. Maybe.
I was just going to say,
what's that new regime going to look like?
LeBron, you're like, you couldn't have done this like a few months earlier.
Yeah, his trade value has gone up, though, right? Like, so, I mean, for the Lakers, they might actually have a little bit more ammo.
Well, it's like, playing with confidence and believing that the team that you're on, like, you're going to be there for the future, makes you better at basketball. It's weird that, like,
no, I think that's the opposite. I think Brandon Ingram, and this is one of the most impressive things to me about him. His mental makeup with all of this stuff happening, that guy just said, nah, man, I'm going to hoop. And he just went after it. And he's been really, really good. They would be a lot worse off if he wasn't playing like this.
He's made 3 3-pointers in each of his last 2 games. The last time he made multiple 3-pointers in a game, multiple, so more than one, was December 5th.
Man, if he can
November 23rd.
If he can get his threes to like 34%.
Same with Giannis, right?
You know, he would just be insanely good, bro.
But he had one last night that he got to walk into, and it's a totally different shot than when he's trying to spot up. And he's not a guy, like, having him out there with LeBron, and we've seen it all season. Like, they just don't work well together, or at least Ingram doesn't function well off of LeBron. Like, having him spot up, that's terrible for him. You want him with the ball in his hands, trying to facilitate for others, maybe as a secondary playmaker where he can get moving on cuts and things like that. But being able to walk into a three, his shot looks so much better than it does when he's just standing in the corner and he's doing that weird thing with his leg. I don't know. I think he's going to be good. I was kind of out on him, but I think he's going to wind up being good, and I'm glad to be wrong about it.
So we're not calling him Andrew Wiggins anymore?
Well, I said if you combine Andrew Wiggins and Brandon Ingram, you just have skinny Andrew Wiggins.
I'm not going to front. I was very down on Brandon Ingram, but that's because when he came into the league, people were comparing him to KD, and that just pissed me off.
All right, we got to stop.
Yeah,
this
I know.
Shit.
I know, Zach. Shit, I know.
Also, if he wasn't the number two pick.
You're mad at the people making the comparison, right? Not Brandon Ingram.
I wasn't mad, but that's the thing. My disposition going in is like, it's like, come on. Oh, okay. KD, next KD. Fuck out of here.
This is the thing. This is the thing. Austin Rivers in high school gets called the best guard prospect since Kobe Bryant. They'd be like, oh, you think he's Kobe Bryant? Andrew Wiggins, he's the best prospect since LeBron James. Oh, you think he's LeBron? Oh, he's not LeBron, so he sucks.
Not everybody can be Luka Doncic, okay?
Right, exactly. But
not everybody can be anointed at 12 years old and still exceed expectations.
That person sucks. Not Andrew Wiggins, not Brandon Ingram, not Austin Rivers. Like, the person who made the comparison, that's the person who's bad at his job, not this other person.
But here's another thing that happened, though, too, is that because I wasn't living out here, I didn't have to watch West Coast games as much as I do now. And then last year, when I moved here, last season, I was like, oh, this kid has, like, skills. Like, he's, like, good at a lot of things. He's not great at anything yet, but he has so many tools in the toolbox that he can use. And, you know, I turned around on him last year. But now, you know, that he's been put into a different context, not of, like, oh, what type of player will he be? Like, what type of contributor will he be for the Lakers? It's like, what kind of prospect is he as far as a package that gets us – you know, to where a guy who's amazing can play with LeBron and we care about competitive basketball in LA now. Like, he's not being seen through the prism of what is he going to be going down the line for the team that he's on. It's like, how good can he look now so that teams will want to trade for him, you know, and it sucks.
Ethan is available, guys, just so we want to add him to the mix.
Let's do it. Rob?
Rob, get on that.
Can I ask you guys a question? So, why, if AD really wants to come to the Lakers when he's a free agent, which, you know, he's backed off now. Now he says he just wants to go to any team. But if he's with Rich Paul, and Rich Paul is really LeBron's inside man, and AD's coming to the Lakers, what would that be, 2020? why would you gut the team of supporting play? Doesn't that make it like a Carmelo situation?
Because the plan was always trade for a guy,
sign another
really good, and then sign another guy.
They want to actually sign a guy and then trade for a guy.
Yeah, right. You want to sign Kawhi and then trade for Anthony Davis.
Right. Sign whoever. Trade for AD. Like, that's always been the case. They wanted to use their
he's not a free agent.
They wanted to use their cap space this summer and then use the pieces that they've accumulated to bring in the third guy. And then it's like, all right, we got our three. We fill in the rest and we're good, which is actually a decent plan. It's just, you know, when the play is, yo, I'll sign with the Lakers anyway, and teams know, well, shit. The Lakers can't wait till 2020 to use their cap space on you. That's what's making this whole thing muddled.
Yeah, so they don't have the time to wait. LeBron turns
35 next December, by the way. Just like throw that out there.
So I'm just keeping track of the Wazisms. I think "we're good" is a Wazism, and "da da da" is a Wazism. I like the "da da da."
I would say something is a Straussism, but I can't spell all the letters in that word. I can't pronounce it.
I want the listeners of this podcast to keep track of the Wazisms. That's my humble request to all of you, because there are a lot of great ones, and I'm thinking of a few of them. I think I like keeping track of Wazisms and Nate Duncanisms. Those are my two favorites.
What's the Nate Duncanism? I need one.
Shoots an easy ball.
In the competitive portion of the game. The competitive portion.
I
don't know if this is a Nate Duncanism. It is something he says, but I think he's going to pick up that option.
That's the best one easily. Like, yeah, Carmelo Anthony, who we're pretty sure is going to pick up that option.
Yeah. I don't know of any LaRue-isms, but we should keep track of these. We should keep track of these. I want to hear this in the Discord. I want to hear the idiosyncrasies that people are voicing out there. Anyway, what are you guys talking about? I've crashed this particular party. What's going on?
Brandon Ingram is actually a good player, but he can't play with LeBron, so it doesn't matter. LeBron's missing the playoffs, and then, you know, the silver lining being that they get a better lottery pick, so more trade chips.
Everybody talks that LeBron can't miss the playoffs. And I just wonder, I don't know why, right? I mean, whose legacy will suffer less than LeBron's for missing the playoffs?
Doesn't
really matter. They're not winning the championship. If you don't win the championship, you might as well miss the playoffs.
And Ethan, they are so clearly not winning the championship. It is so obviously not going to happen.
Of course it's not going to happen. What?
Well, hang on. Let me ask you this.
Are we talking about the Warriors or the Lakers?
The Lakers. Now, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but if they somehow got the 7 seed.
Yeah, the 7 seed. But that's the thing. They need to get the 7 seed.
I can see them
making the playoffs as the 8 seed and getting swept isn't good for you either.
They'd lose in the Western Conference Finals. Makes the playoff interesting. Like when I would go on Lebatard's show and I'd be like, you know, they could make some noise. They could make some noise.
That's it. That's what
they're like, what does that mean, Haberstroh? Make some noise?
Yo,
yeah, I know. They could make some noise.
Here's the thing about LeBron in the playoffs that, like, people don't understand. It's like he was coasting in the playoffs. Every other game against Indiana, he coasted. And they ended up going 7 freaking games with these dudes. Like, he did that against Indiana. The they ended up playing I'm talking about Indiana last year with Oladipo and all of that.
They ended
up playing Toronto in the second
Here's a subversive question. I don't want to call it too early because maybe I've done it in the past where I've thought I've called it too early. We all say consensus LeBron is the best player in the NBA. Are we just kind of lying because we really want somebody to supplant him? The incumbent.
You can put him with KD and Steph when he's playing hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He won NBA Finals last year, LeBron.
Yes. He's just as good as any of those two guys.
That was terrifying. When he's
playing hard. Yeah.
So that's a good observation that your regular season performance used to be just a perfect proxy for how good you are as a player, and that's just no longer true.
The only person who that's true about is Giannis right now.
It hasn't been true since, I want to say, like 2014.
Then again, Olajuwon might have been one of the first of these guys where regular season Olajuwon was not playoffs Olajuwon. I think he might have been the first. But that might have been fasting. I don't know when the fasting occurs, so that might have had something to do with it. But he, I think is one of, and we never talk about Hakeem this way for whatever reason. We never talk about him.
He was worse in the playoffs or better in the playoffs?
Better in the playoffs. Better in the playoffs. We don't talk about him as a guy who kind of gave lackluster regular season effort and then showed you what he really was in the playoffs.
But he
was
only won an asterisk seasons either.
No Michael Jordan means that those titles don't count.
He's a bum.
I don't know. Bulls would have won 8 straight.
I do think Ewing sucks, though. I don't think Ewing's very good at all.
Wow. That's blasphemy.
His knees out in the early 90s, I think.
Once the knees left him, he became
the jump shooter.
But you know what? He was a good jump shooter. Ewing had a beautiful fadeaway jump shot, and we should give him a
little elbow guy.
They got blocked by Muggsy Bogues once, by the way.
Yep. Disgusting.
From behind.
Snapple facts.
Did anybody have an uglier kind of finger roll move than Ewing, that lumbering finger roll?
I mean, well, he missed it.
I think the Pacers thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Gen Z knows what I'm talking about. Gen Z gets it.
This is very much a throwback pod. This is like a pod from 1993 for sure.
Oh, we should just do a year by year pod.
Oh, please.
92.
Yes.
Morning over Shaq.
There you go, Tom.
Sing
pass
it.
Pass the test.
That's amazing.
Ethan, we said we were trying to come up with ways to like ask a millennial, like, did you ever watch Jordan? Like, did you ever watch Jordan? And we decided that, or I did, that the best test would be, hey, well, how does that NBA on NBC theme go? Like, how does it go? Because they can't Google that shit. Like, they have to like think of it on the spot.
You have to have that in your heart. And you know what? I don't just want the NBA and NBC theme that everybody sings. I want that intro. That's how I know you're legit. If you give me the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like, I want that lead up. I need that lead up to know that you're legit.
Way better than the Westworld intro. Way better. Right, Ethan?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I get that reference of a mean straw manning me viciously and saying that I was saying that a show couldn't be good with a bad intro. I just think that the good intro, it's good if your show has a good intro.
I agree with you.
I think, like, if you look at like late 80s, early 90s sitcoms, if you didn't have a theme song that I want to listen to like today,
okay,
I can't remember your show.
It's all a question.
Overall thing.
What? All right. So I wonder the chicken or the egg, because I think the quality of the show informs how good the theme song is sometimes, or we're biased to think that a theme song was better because it introed a really good show. Is there a bad show that had an amazing intro?
So Silver Spoons wasn't a really good show, but it has a great theme song.
Great call. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here we are face to face.
Ungrateful Kimmy Schmidt. That's not a show that really entertains me too much, but that's
first
a great intro.
Really good.
But that's like that's also like making fun of like internet culture and like the way that news clips are remixed. So that's a whole different thing.
It's a great intro song though. I mean, that's an okay show. That's not a bad show. It's hard to come up with a bad show that has a good intro song. I'm sure
you don't watch bad shows, and so you don't remember the intro because it's not ingrained in your head.
I just think it's all part of the general Pavlovian response to entertainment, and it's a hobby horse of mine that the Warriors have done nothing add to the experiments of the experience of this dynasty. The Jordan Bulls, that serious song for the Bulls, that's all part of the Pavlovian memory. You get excited.
He's right, though.
It's true.
So you're saying that we need to come up with a sound effect every time Steph Curry makes a three so we can enjoy it more?
No, those intros were like appointment television.
You're using the same intro they used in 2010 when the team was trash. It's
when
just
they had AC Law?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Aren't the Bulls still using
the fourth was?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's just the same. They run it back. They invest nothing in it. The entire arena has senioritis because they've got this new thing they're working on, which I'll have an article on that coming out, I think, today, depending on when certain people – you always got to do that. It's always interesting when somebody's getting killed in a quote, and you got to go back to the person who was getting killed for a response. That's the sequence I'm in right now. But anyway –
I love that the Miami Heat's like win song isn't like an EDM mantra. Like it's the heat is on, and everyone's just like the heat is on.
That's from that era of ego superchargers. those happy songs. But what I think should be brought back is the terrible 1980s Super Bowl shuffle style rap. I think that's what we need to bring back in general. That's what we try.
I think we need singing Jingle Bells.
Like, I don't think Atlanta Hawks. Here's what I think. We're in an era of, you know what podcast you're clicking on. It tells you who's on the radio. It tell you know when you click on the station, all this stuff. You know what state or what channel or what show you're watching on Netflix. Like, I don't think we need any intro anymore. I think intros are out.
Mm-hmm. You want skip intro button for life.
Skip intro on everything. Like, just get into the goddamn show. Get into everything. Like,
right.
I don't need that intro.
Do you know, like the podcast, idea that it's a layup line? Like, just a warm-up? Like, you're getting your juices flowing.
I like a cold open and then a little small interlude as the show starts, played under the talking.
Dude, unlike an intro.
I like Star Coops, baby.
Intro is so long. You can get up, get some water. You know what I'm saying? Go,
that's
like,
good intro, though.
Plate. You pause the show, Waz. What are you talking about?
That's a good intro. I like the Game of Thrones intro quite a bit. I don't know.
There's little riddles in it too.
I mean, if I'm going top five for intros, I think I got to throw the Sopranos in there. I think that's in my top five.
I hate that song, dude.
Bosom
Buddies. Bosom Buddies.
Way too long.
I don't like that intro. I don't like the song choice. It just doesn't do it for me.
Family Matters. Martin.
Okay. Family Matters.
Step by Step.
In Living Color.
Step by Step.
Step by Step. Yeah, that's my five.
Bosom Buddies.
Everywhere you look, everywhere's a high.
I'm shocked. How could somebody take issue with the Sopranos intro song?
The Sopranos intro, so I feel like I'm getting pumped.
Doesn't get me pumped up. I don't know. It just doesn't fit the vibe for me for whatever reason.
That is...
Not sampled it, not because it's a good song, but because it was in The Sopranos.
That's fair. That's probably a good
fair assessment. This moment, got myself.
Couple from the Ethan
Twitch chat.
Sanford and Son, which is a great one.
Also, and I like the Wire revolutionary idea of same intro, different song.
Yeah, that I like. Yeah, that I like a lot.
Pew, pew, pew. Also, greatest American Hero is very good as well.
Somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ethan, 6 Feet Under was the first HBO show to take the kind of stock footage intro that was kind of thematically linked to the show, but that didn't really have anything to do with the show. They were the first show to really do that. And then pretty much every HBO intro since 6 Feet Under is kind of the same style remixed.
The
Westworld intro.
HBO Boardwalk Empire, that intro was god awful.
True on that, but I liked how 6 Feet Under had that crazy outro of that intense song. What was that song? Where they showed how all the characters died in the future.
That's Sia, actually. That was early Sia. Breathe Me. That's an epic finisher. That's the best ending of any show ever. But
the Leftovers,
a story for a different day. Leftovers had a decent song, and they did the Wire thing of having a different version of it every year.
Leftovers. Wow. I like that show. Just the melodrama of that show, man.
The third season of that show was excellent.
I thought the second season was better, but the first season was strange.
Mad Men. Mad Men, great intro. Great intro song.
Too long. It's great. And also, it's really good. Too long.
Well, the short version of it was the right way
Zach,
to go.
Yes. Zach. So you're all for like the Lost intro where it's just like 5 seconds.
Goddamn show, man. I don't care who made it. I don't care who's on it. Just give me the action. I don't like the intros for players in a game. Get them on the court. Tip it up.
You don't like player introductions?
But you know what?
That's crazy.
I skip player intros as a coach.
Other than like, oh man, I love the Bulls intro. Yeah, that was cool in the 90s. It's not a good thing anymore.
Oh, come on, man. It's like, man. No, let me tell you something.
Introduction?
Few moments. You know, you remember some moments from this job and what it's like to be in a building with that kind of energy. And
I'm done with all of it.
I remember 2016 being at Quicken Loans Arena, being in the concourse hallway as I'm watching the ushers and I'm watching the concessionaires sing along to Phil Collins in the Air of the Night. And you get chills. You get chills. I mean, look, it's all part. It's all part of it. It's all
the
part
pomp
of
the and circumstance. I don't think you need it. The pageantry of sports, Zach. It's for the show of sports. This is an entertainment product, Zach.
The show of sports is LeBron shrugging after he doesn't guard Bruno. That's the
Who?
Oh,
for that, I don't need Phil Collins.
Well, the world does need more Phil Collins. Come on.
Because the hurt doesn't show, but the pain still grows. No stranger to you and me. Well, I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Well, I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. Oh, Lord.
So, Ethan, are there any other Golden State stories besides the stadium that KD's no longer going to open? What other stories do we have?
Hang on. Well, Ethan wasn't at the game last night, but Tom was. How come KD didn't come out? Like, he didn't run out with the rest of the team. He missed out on the little team huddle in the tunnel.
KD
he comes out
and
stretches
Portland
by
too,
himself.
By KD also did it in Portland too, by the way.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I was just like every other fan seeing that video.
Ethan, have you ever noticed that KD doesn't really do huddles like that? Is that something you've seen before?
Yeah, I heard he was taking a shit. On his face.
Oh, God.
It's like a Triumph the Insult comic dog setup right there. No, I didn't actually hear that, though some have theorized that. No, I've noticed that. This stuff is all very noticeable. I mentioned it.
But is that normal, though? Is that something Harry Barnes used to do?
Actually, Harry Barnes did do a pregame shit, and I'm trying to remember how it corresponded to when he came out vis-a-vis his teammates, but that was a Harry Barnes tradition to take shit.
That's not the question. Was he late to huddles?
Did Harry Barnes not participate in huddles?
Like, did Harry Barnes stand by the stanchion?
Oh, no. Harry Barnes never stood over by the stanchion.
Hold on. I want to know. How many times did Harrison Barnes take a shit before it?
I was speaking for myself.
You can time it. You can time it, Dave. Come on.
I think this has been written about, too. By the way, I ran into for the Sacramento game about a week or so ago. I ran into Harry Barnes and had a very nice conversation with him. And I think he seems to be happy to be back in the state of California. I don't know. He's not too upset about it. But anyway,
Luka? Was that a dig? My boy?
There was no dig. There was no dig.
Dig at Luka, but maybe a dig at Texas.
All this stuff. It's a hard thing for fans to process, I believe, because he's playing so well. Durant looks amazing out there. He looks incredible.
He's great.
And so if he was playing poorly, then all of this other stuff, we would try to maybe connect it to him playing poorly. But instead,
he's just too good.
Yeah, he's just
so great that nobody knows what to do with him, like, being so outwardly unhappy and contemptuous of the situation he's in. So nobody knows.
Harden had his little streak of 30 points or whatever, 40 little consecutive times.
32.
His little streak of 30 points, cutesy streak. Honestly, when I watch KD and the Warriors, like, KD can score 30. If he really wanted to make that his job on this team, he could do that every single game. Yeah.
He's 8 points a quarter forever.
If he really wanted to be like, yo, I'm gonna go out and fuck Harden's record up, he could do that shit tomorrow. If he decided to make that his mission, because he just gets 27, 28, and then just goes home.
He's a steady rain, man. Like, he literally is 8 points a quarter forever. And he'll do it till he's 40 if he wants.
Isn't it wild that until last season he never scored over 41 in a playoff game? Like, I could have sworn, like, this dude at some point just had like a 50.
Tom, he played with Russ. How is he going to get enough shots?
Yeah.
because he's playing with such an unselfish superstar.
Honestly,
there you
KD,
go. There you
KD
go.
Watching
around better.
Spin that narrative, Tom.
KD
come on
watching
now.
Russ. KD watching Russ acquiesce to Paul George and play second fiddle.
Yeah.
It's like when you break up with a woman and she finally starts going to the gym. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, where was this?
Hold on, we know he's not playing second fiddle to Russ, right? Or Russ is not playing second fiddle to him right now, right? Russ is still leading this team.
Still first chair violin.
He's just allowing Paul to play more.
Right.
But Paul George has hit Paul George has hit like 45 points like a bunch of times this year. Like
he has. He has. If thanks KD's, to Russ.
Yeah, I know.
Because so Russ allows like, him to. Like Russ still runs this organization. Like it's still like Russ is number one on that team.
Yeah.
But on the court, Paul George doesn't have to beg for the basketball. Which is
that's
nice.
That's true. No,
that's
I mean
a
that's
step in the right direction, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. If they get into a series against the Jazz, I wonder if that's still the case. Because Russ gets in his mind, I gotta go destroy that Spanish kid, and he goes crazy.
Spanish kid, is he a xenophobe?
Last season, though, that is what happened last season. To Zach's point, like that's a big
part. It happens every game that Russ plays Rubio. He hates Rubio.
Why? I don't understand that.
I've told this story before, but it's because of Rubio's first game. Rubio's first game was against the Thunder day after Christmas during the lockout shortened season, and reporters asked Russ about Rubio and like, oh man, what do you expect out of this young Rubio? And Russ got pissed off and was swearing as we walked out when media availability was over. We're walking out of the locker room. He's swearing like, man, he doesn't even fucking start. Like, why are they asking me about it? Like, this rookie, like that's what – and ever since it, every game, he has tried to destroy Ricky Rubio. That is Russ amazing. In a nutshell, man.
That is amazing.
I was there for it. Like, that's what happened.
And guess what?
He didn't go out there and try to kill Luke Ridenour, who started the game. Like, he had to kill Rubio.
Who does he hate more?
I think him and Dame have an issue. Is that
Russ has I think that's a everybody. Competitive thing, though. Okay. I think that's gone at each other enough. And
not Rondo and Chris Paul.
I don't think so, but I don't know the backstory. Like Nate Jones would obviously know the backstory to that, but I don't like. I'm not certain on that. I just know what I've seen with the Russ Rubio thing.
Does he hate Rubio more than he hates Reggie Jackson?
I don't think anybody hates Rubio more than anybody hates Reggie Jackson. Like Reggie Jackson's the least likable teammate in the world.
First three games against Russ, Ricky Rubio goes in 26 minutes, 6 points. In 18 minutes, 0 points. In 22 minutes, 0 points.
Yo, he tried to kill him, man. He tried to kill him. And here's the thing, too, is that game, Rubio comes in with like 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, his first check-in. He like leads all these fun, fast breaks. He's dropping dimes. Like it's the Ricky Rubio rookie experience. Like that's what it – like it was just fun. Russ was seething during that game. Like seething. He's getting the crowd up. He's dropping a no-look to someone. Like I think Wes Johnson or Anthony Randolph running the floor. Anthony Randolph dunks it. Rubio's running up and down the floor. The place is going crazy. Whole time, Russ just like laser eyes. Like, I'm going to kill this dude. Whole time. Every time Rubio made a play in that game, I would look at Russ and Russ is like frothing at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like just couldn't believe it. He was pissed, man. Every time after that, like he would just come and you saw it the other day. He's going into the post against Rubio. Like he's trying to bully him. Like he hates Ricky.
Oh man, but you know, Rubio did get a lot of hype coming in though.
Oh, absolutely. That was
ton of hype.
Rubio's won 6 out of the last 9 matchups against Russ. I'm just saying.
Yo.
Including the playoff series.
Including the playoffs, man.
Six and three against Russ.
No, Russ was doing. That would be a really fun. That would be a really fun first round.
That's the best first round series.
I just hope that he doesn't do the "I'm taking 12 threes a game, I'm doing this, I'm doing that."
That's the only problem I have with Russ is when he takes threes. I don't care about him taking shots. Like it's when he takes threes. Like
he should take his mid ranges. He makes those a decent amount enough, and he needs to take a lot to get into a good rhythm. The problem with the pull up threes is it's not possible for him to get into a good rhythm.
He needs to quit the pull up. And honestly, like if you've watched him this year, I mean, obviously he's struggling shooting, but when he's spotting up, like off of Paul George, and he gets a catch and shoot, he's making those. I mean. You know, at least recently, I think he's starting to feel better. Like you can see.
Yeah, I think the knee was like we've talked about this, Dave. Like I think the knee has been an issue for him this year because he's missing he's missing layups in weird ways.
He is missing at the.
Well, what's funny is he's actually finishing at the basket better this season than in a long time. But he's missing. Right, the misses look weird.
Yeah,
the free throws are the weirdest part to me. And if he was making his free throws at his normal clip. None of us would think he's just having a little bit of a down shooting.
Dave, it's not just missing those free throws. It's getting to the free throws. Yeah. There's I'm not saying a lot of the Rondo thing, but his free throw attempts
He's going down because you think he's avoiding the line?
He's avoiding contact.
Wow. And the thing is, too, it's not like LeBron went on a good season. He's at 74.
Right.
And so when he's at 69, this is trash, but like this is kind of the guy's free throw shooting. Yeah. Russ is an 84, 85% guy.
Yep. Damn 80% for his career, yeah.
Oh, so like, man.
His MVP year, he had 10 a game, and now it's at 6.4.
But still, still 6.4 is really good.
Six yeah, but better for him, than but for him, that's
but for him, it's low.
Yeah,
right? He needs to be at 8 at least.
But I'll stand by the fact that this is the best season that I've seen out of Russ. Like if we care about making, like,
with you. Yeah,
if we care about the stuff that actually makes a team good, you know, like again, his team defense has been so much better. He's not abandoning his assignment as much. Yeah. I mean, his rebounding actually. There's still a little bit
of that.
Are
you saying his rebound is legit this season?
No, hang on.
We had a game where Steven Adams played 34 minutes and grabbed one rebound.
Right.
Like, no, it's not.
There's still that going on, but he's getting more positional rebounds rather than abandoning his assignment. Yeah. So, I mean, like, and I've been a harsh critic of him for a lot of stuff, in particular the defensive end. But man, he's been good. But when you get those bad Russ moments, they're bad. And like, he can shoot them out of game still. The frustration fouls.
Yeah, I think the difference is Paul George has been able to kind of lift them out of those bad Russ moments a lot this season, right? Like they still happen, but they don't doom the team like they used to.
Right, exactly. And so they're able to
Paul George floater, man.
Woo! That was fun, man.
That's top five plays of the season. Yeah. I'm all about the top five right here. That's top five plays of the season. He went
4-17 next game. I didn't hear any MVP talk after that. But
well, back to back after double overtime.
You're right. Like no one plays good back to backs.
Not 50 something minutes.
He's played terrible back to backs, man.
Played 50 something minutes. Give him a break.
Do we talk more about MVP now? Like the proportion is there a positive correlation to, as we talk about again, the regular season mattering less is somehow positively correlated to us talking about the MVP more? I mean, is that somehow the situation we're pulling into?
We're trying to find stuff to talk about.
I don't think it's like talking about more. I think if the names were big, like let's say it was, I don't know, KD, Steph, and LeBron fighting for MVP, it's the only thing we'd be talking about right now.
Yeah.
Mm.
We would talk about literally nothing else. If those were the three like front runners, the way it's Harden, Giannis, and Paul George.
You would have Skip Bayless doing his little turn. I used to think.
Like that would lead every show. The
but
MVP.
And he went 4 of 17. And exactly. Now I think. Yeah, you're right about that. I think that's
horse race if it was those three guys.
Yeah.
Hey, I know I care about it a lot more if it was those.
I think it's wrapped up personally. I don't see how Giannis has it.
I mean, as long as they get the one seed, which they will, it's
historically.
Harden's not going to be able to do another, you know, fluky 30-point streak again. So.
Also, they're not
Chris Paul's
win
back. Chris Paul's back, stealing his shine a little bit. He actually looks like a real person.
The Rockets are not going to win enough.
I feel like Giannis would be one of the most beloved figures in sports if he wasn't in Milwaukee, and he's pretty beloved as it is.
Yeah, very beloved.
Here we go. Ethan's trying to get him to the Warriors.
Buddy Marcus Thompson's article.
Come to death row. I've
been saying he's got not to sound like Darren Rafael, but he's got a great brand. He just makes you he's intense out there, but he's also just joyful.
You know what's cool about Giannis is that he shoots out of necessity, right? Like you can tell he's not a Kyrie type where his identity is tied into, yo, did I score 30 points
right
tonight? He shoots a lot because he kind of has to on the team. Like that's what his team, that's what's best for his team. But I think that's the coolest part about him is that like the shooting the rock is not how he, you know.
The man is holding babies in his post-game interviews, and they're not even his babies.
Oh, he's just grabbing a baby. Any baby near him, he's like, here, look, guys, look how mayoral I am.
Right? Giannis like, Jefferson Clinton. That's what I'm going to start calling him.
In 2 years.
He didn't have that bell.
Oh, my God.
That was too far?
No,
that was perfect.
In 2 years, when everybody starts to turn on Giannis,
No, I can't wait. I can't wait. This no. monk can't shoot.
It's going to happen.
I don't know. Absolutely hey. Happen.
All right, I'm look. Trying to think of the person who it hasn't happened to.
I there feel like
we, to everybody.
We yeah, churn on everybody, and what your job is as the modern superstar is to not let that impact you and embitter you. I think maybe we're seeing that a little bit with Kyrie, where it's just what are you doing?
Like, what's I think going the Kyrie on stuff turned to the positive. When he went to Boston, I think people got to see him do his thing and be like, oh man, Kyrie's really good. Because when we watch him in Cleveland,
I think it's starting to turn. I think you're right. I think it's starting to turn the other way.
People are now against Kyrie.
They're now against Kyrie, right?
Well, yeah. I want to talk about Boston while we're here, and since we're going to be in Boston this weekend, right?
Good, natural plug, that seamless plug.
Like that. So the Celtics are currently in the fifth seed in the East. The
Pacers are screwing up our second round, man.
Unbelievable to me, by the way. What Nate McMillan is in the coach of the year conversation.
He's my coach of the year.
He's been insane this year.
They won two for their games. Like,
yeah.
Wait, Dave.
Degree of difficulty has to matter, right?
Are you? Oh, you're suggesting they're going to be at the third seed?
I'm saying the Pacers are the three seed right now.
Do you think they're going to end up there?
I think they are.
Screw up the second round.
If they drop to five, are you pulling that coach of the year? Is he saying regardless?
No, I think he's done an incredible job. I mean, they lost Vic and they've stayed on the same pace. It's really incredible. I don't know if Boston's going to be able to catch them. I think if Boston is the four seed, let's say at best case scenario, right? They're the four seed. This is a disappointment of a season, right?
Well, Boston still matters how far they go.
If they get to 53-54 wins, they had a fine season.
They can beat Milwaukee. As disappointing as Boston has been, I won't say as bad as they've been,
they got Toronto tonight.
They can take Milwaukee in a series for sure. Mm-hmm. It's different, man.
If the playoffs started today, they'd wax the Sixers because they kind of own them.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I mean, with the Embiid injury, sure, but it's a 7-game series. I don't agree.
Talent might win out there.
I think they beat the Sixers up.
I think they beat the Sixers. I think they really worked them last
Horford
year. I know the rosters are different, but
Horford messes with Embiid.
Tobias and Jimmy are just gonna change the way that approach goes. Like, there's still gonna be issues with Ben Simmons and how you guard him, right? Or how he gets guarded. It's easier to guard him in the playoffs, right? And there's still gonna be the Embiid versus Baines and Horford thing. But man, like Tobias, like who's matching up with Tobias? Who's matching up with Jimmy, right? Like, they have the guys, they have a good defense, but it's just different than last year with like, oh, can Dario beat them?
That's fair. Well, that's fair.
They're not running crunch time plays for Marco Bellinelli, is what you're saying.
Right.
Jimmy in these type of situations does know how to get to the line.
Be a loser goes home dynamic where Kyrie's leaving if they lose, or Jimmy's leaving if
I don't think the pressure's the same for Philly. Philly's not the favorite to go to the finals.
And also, they have a contingency plan. It's like, all right, Jimmy, we'll just keep Tobias. Whatever.
Yeah, cool. Good. Yeah.
All right, cool, no problem. You know,
I think they'd rather keep Tobias than Jimmy.
Boston losing early is a disaster.
Yeah, absolutely,
disaster for them.
The Celtics have to, at minimum, get to Game 7 of the conference finals.
Facts.
I want to listen to some Boston talk radio.
At one point, does Brad Stevens start to catch flack if they don't?
No,
he's like unassailable, right?
He's He's Belichick without the titles. Like, Teflon. They're just going to believe in him.
He's a mid-30s Belichick.
I am still backing Brad Stevens. And again, I will change my tune if some of these players leave the Celtics and start playing better than they were playing when they were with the Celtics, as opposed to the opposite, which keeps happening.
Oh, hang on. See, now I'd love if they
played good offense on the Celtics. That's what I'd love.
So this is the point that I make, Ethan. It's that he's really good at maximizing mid-level talents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I need to see him. And by the way, crunch time offense, their crunch time offense is fantastic. Because they just give the ball to Kyrie,
Kyrie's a killer,
spread pick and roll. And I'm not saying you got to work him like Harden, But man, when your offense is looking like a clogged toilet, by the way, their offense has been okay since the end of November. They're just, you know, the fifth seed.
Well, I grant you that you'd want more offensively out of them. But I do wonder, because the narrative might be this guy's great at drawing up and out of bounds plays, great at optimizing mid-level talent. But what about the superstars? It seems no coach is good at that anymore for whatever reason. Popovich, what are you doing? Kawhi Leonard's catching frostbite somewhere out there in Canada.
What about Bud?
Yeah, well, right now,
Giannis up.
Right now, I mean, Giannis is holding and kissing babies, but it's very early.
We could talk about my Bucks all day and the dominance that we have shown this season.
Nah, the Bucks have been truly dominant.
We are in an odd era, and I've said it before, of superstar disgruntlement on a level I can't ever remember it being like.
I feel like this is the blip, though, man.
Yeah, what's the Levitard take is essentially like you're a manager now. You're not a coach, right? Like, and maybe he means more of that for football than he does the NBA, but I think there's some credence to that of like, yeah, you're essentially like HR.
I think for a good basketball team,
social media maybe too often, but I do think that there's an element of back in the day, you were the big man on campus, or I guess in your city, if you were a superstar, you'd never have to buy another drink. Any establishment you walk in, people are showering you with love and praise. Now you can just look at your phone and there are a bunch of people in town saying terrible things about you, right. And it's just harder to keep them happy. Because of that,
And Ethan, like you said, when you get that negative comment, it just stings more than the "you're the man, Kyrie." Like it just hurts more. I'm sorry, you just feel it more.
Life. It gives me life. Wise.
You know, when you get the negative, I've actually opted out of negativity. I mute people who don't send me anything but praise.
That's
on Twitter.
Right. That's
so right. I don't even know what it's
like. Is that why you're not responding to my tweets?
I had not read articles mentioning me for about a week after the whole thing earlier this month. You know, I didn't want any of it, even if it was legit, even if there were some solid points. You just can't.
I will so retweet funny, all man. Praise.
It's so funny. Like, it's just funny that people get upset about your opinion on sports. Oh, like, what a dumb thing. That's like, the city of Orlando hates me. Like, legitimately hates me right now. Like, it's so funny. And I'm
Zach
just like,
versus Orlando is the feud of the year.
They don't like me because I don't believe in Nikola Vucevic. Like, what a dumb decision to make on any level.
I want to say
they don't care because they didn't catch you doing it 2 weeks ago.
I've been doing it for fucking years, Dave. I've been killing him since he was a Sixer.
it's perfect. I love it. Like, it's so
that's
a deep process take.
I have a hot take, by the way. I just want to share a hot take so you get a superstar disgruntlement. And I've said it in other incarnations, but I said it recently to Nate Jones, and I stand by it. I think it's harder to cope with cold weather if you are from the San Diego / LA area. And that's why that's why Kawhi's leaving. It's just that simple. It would be one thing.
It's going to be a Clipper time. It's a lot.
He kept talking about it during All-Star, how cold it is.
He kept talking about it. It's like being born without skin. You are susceptible. You did not. It's like in the language acquisition phase. We have a weather acquisition phase. If you grow up and it's perfect outside, you do not accept it being the opposite of perfect. You do not, and you can say, yeah, they're traveling around.
Ethan, you would not believe.
Ethan, to bolster your point, it's been freezing cold, rainy in LA for damn near a month now. It's been god awful. I'm from New York City. It's made me miserable, bro. I was like, what is this? Where is my 68 degrees?
Well, I could argue you could go back home and deal with it. You could go back home to New York and go, okay, I'm used to this. Yeah. If all you ever knew growing up was L.A.,
it's
an underrated component is all I'm saying.
Don't look at the weather report for Boston, guys.
It's gonna snow. I gotta go find my snow jacket. Like,
yeah, the thing about the snow though in somewhere like Boston, it's like it's not gonna fuck up the city because they're ready for snow. Yeah, like right. If the city shut down every time it snowed, they just couldn't have a city.
Atlanta.
So Boston will be fine. They actually got like an infrastructure for that.
I'm going to go. I have to finish up this article, but you guys have fun.
You want to give us a teaser?
Oh, for the article? What would my teaser be for this article? My teaser on the article is that I look at San Francisco and the Warriors as these two crazy ambitious entities who are forming an alliance to dominate the world. And maybe they're insane, ravenous capitalists, and maybe they just see the future. I don't know. But I look at that as the dynamic. And at one point, Lacob says the team is going to enter into something that he calls phase three. And what phase three?
Is it Marvel?
If you want to hear Joe Lacob talking about how the Warriors are going to enter it, they've done the first thing. They
turned things around. Talent.
Became a good business. They won the championships, and now it's time for phase three, where they transcend all that. I felt like I was hearing a supervillain explain.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, that's Thanos.
Global domination.
So this will be in this article.
This is some Dr. Evil shit right here from Leica, where like he's gonna start saying like chestnuts are lazy and he invented the question mark. Like this is
I should say there is no interview with Leica because I don't talk to anybody in the Warriors.
No, you just show up and give your opinion.
Wander around.
You're the real snake, Ethan, not Katie.
This dude Ethan Strauss.
Meanwhile, this guy.
You got a guy, Ethan Strauss.
Grow up.
Yeah, you grow up.
This guy's standing 30 feet from the timeout huddles with his face like Sub Zero in Mortal Kombat.
Hey, I got a random question. Just because someone just made a Robert Kraft joke. What NBA owners most likely to get caught in a Robert Kraft situation?
And I think this is where we wrap, guys. Thanks for joining today.
Thanks for joining us. Catch that answer on Patreon sometime in the next 10 years.
But okay, I'm out. See you.
Go make some sticky rice.
That was a mic drop.
Wow. All right, guys, I think that'll do it.
That's it. Time to wrap up.
Zach, I just need an intro. When are you guys?
An intro?
No, Zach doesn't like intros.
That was out on intros.
All right, guys.
Talk to y'all later.
Catch you guys in Boston.
See you Thursday.
All right, later. Bye.